Penguin Random House Audio presents The Marigold by Andrew F. Sullivan. Read for you by Sean Patrick Hopkins. For Amy. No one, wise Kubla, knows better than you that the city must never be confused with the words that describe it. Italo Calvino, Invisible Cities. Everything is fine. Former Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. 1. Before everything that happened, before the towers, before the site plans, before the deeds, before the failing sports bar and two-bedroom apartment above it that often operated like another, more financially successful, unlicensed sports bar, until the police shut it down after that one Polish kid got strangled with a pair of pink stockings behind the abandoned Shoppers Drug Mart a block or two south, there were trees here. Now, there was only a hole. A crane perched on the edge, its lights barely illuminating the dirt below. The stooped shape of a man clambered down the sloped side of the pit, dragging a heavy burden over the frozen mud. A short shadow rippled across the dirt as he descended like a lazy bird of prey. The gardener's feet knew the way. His breath emerged in tiny clouds. No wind reached down this far, but the cold stitched itself into everything it touched. Far above the pit, towers scratched at the light-polluted sky. Most had undergone the ritual, paid their dues. If not to the gardener, then to someone else with their own take on his faltering, archaic craft. With spring, the hole would come to life again, thrumming with sweaty bodies and hungry machines, but before that happened, it had to be seeded. An aged protection spell practiced since the bad old days. This was what the gardener was paid to do down here. A pile of bills and an Easton hockey bag waited for him in a vacant condo across the street. Fives, tens, and twenties all mixed together. The money didn't exist outside that hockey bag. It floated in its own reality. The gardener unrolled the tarp, let its wet contents tumble down into the low trench at the very edge of the pit. 17 or 18, the gardener didn't know. Male, this time. It didn't matter. Its clothes were burned back in the ravine. A rough image of a bird was tattooed on his shoulder, yellow and orange and dead. Fingernails bitten down to scabbed quicks. The gardener knelt down in the frozen dirt, dug his thick hands into the earth. Stone, ice, and soil scooped onto the body, a patient process, ensuring the seed was fully buried. From across the street, the marigold leered into the pit, 88 stories topped with a crown of flickering orange lights, the sister tower to what was still only a hole. Finished with his labor, the gardener grabbed the blue tarp that had carried the heavy seed, wrapping it around his shoulders like a cowl. He turned to begin the long trek to the surface. He didn't worry about cameras catching his face. No sensors this far down, no one tracking his footsteps, recalibrating the city's functions. These matters were handled far in advance. Marigold 2 was supposed to reach over 100 stories when it was complete. Another tower with a golden halo, a shining monument for some desperate legacy. The gardener put one foot in front of the other, letting the satisfaction of a task well done keep him warm. His breath followed him. There were still more seeds to plant, still more bad old days to come. 2. Even in the wet snow, Kathy Jin refused to ride the shit car. Some of her kinder colleagues called it the ghost car. Coming from an underfinanced department in the city's struggling public health department, most wet investigators were told to provide their own transportation or take transit. Occasionally, a cop or a paramedic might bring them along, warily watching them for any sign of a cough slipping out from under the helmet. When she wasn't wearing the full masked helmet mandated by the department, Kathy wore sunglasses, mirrored in chrome. It helped keep the world at bay.
"I'm walking," Kathy said.
"We can wait for another," Jasmine said, eyes blinking through the snow. They were both old hands at this now. "Phone says next one is here in 3 minutes."
"I want you to look down the street there. You see anything that looks like a streetcar? Your phone lies. We can stand here like idiots or start walking." The shit car sat in front of them, one of the newer streetcars running without an operator, stupid enough to almost drown itself under the Dundas underpass during the floods 2 years before, filled to the brim with sewage. There were others too damaged to keep in circulation. The TTC claimed to have cleaned this one out, but the stench remained. Few riders took the risk. The ghost car is what the news called it, a haunted house stalking the streets. "Progress for progress's sake?" Jasmine asked, wiping melted flakes off her skin.
"I'd rather be a fool under my own power than stand out here waiting for a train that never comes," Kathy said, dragging her kit behind her, the horned helmet bouncing like it was alive.
"Streetcar," Jasmine said, following behind. She adjusted her jacket collar against the cold. It hid the public health logo on the inside. Most people didn't ask what a wet investigator did, even when the first bodies started popping up in bus shelters or half-eaten in the sand. They didn't want to know. They weren't about to start wearing their own little masks again. Kathy knew Jasmine kept her own masked helmet inside her bag, as if people didn't know what it hid. Jasmine still thought the wet was something you could control. Kathy wanted to tell her it was more like a weather system, something to be endured rather than confronted.
"Whatever," Kathy said, trudging along the half-plowed sidewalk.
Everything melted, refroze, melted again. The shit car came to life and passed them down King, empty, warm, and reeking.
"I want to get there before some idiot decides to poke it with a stick."
The latest case was assigned just an hour before, a notification blinking to life on her phone, Jasmine mouthing "go time" in the office kitchen. An alert in a parking garage under a condo tower in Liberty Village, a former yuppie enclave now struggling with the rising lake water.
"How bad do you think it will be this time?"
Jasmine said. They used to work their own cases before people began to report some of the bodies were still alive. Kathy ran one of the safe injection sites before whispers of the wet arrived. She didn't fight the move. It was better than getting fired, ending up on the streets with her former clients. No one knew what the wet was at that time. They only knew something was spreading up from the lake, a toxic mold burrowing its way through the foundations of the older buildings, sometimes appearing in large splotches on the ceiling, or like fingers rising from the floorboards in the rooming houses, the ones that hadn't been converted back into single-family homes for music producers and startup investors.
"I'm sure we'll need the masks," Kathy said.
The new department was simply called Investigations. There was almost no funding. The job was solely to observe and report, tracking victims and infested sites. Like most things in the city, it only sounded simple. You came, you saw, you trembled.
"My favorite," Jasmine said. "You know, I love to play astronaut."
Two cop cars sat in front of the building, blocking access to the parking garage. Real ones, not the private threshold security some companies had taken to retaining in the other waterfront districts. They'd tried to paint over "pig" scrawled on one of the back doors with white house paint. One of the officers waved Kathy over. The heavy building manager paced back and forth between the cruisers, bald head decorated with melting snow. The officers ignored him.
"I don't think it's that bad,"
the manager sputtered at Kathy. He knew what the heavy mask in her bag meant.
"Could be garbage. Someone probably just overreacted, you know?"
"We'll determine that," Jasmine said, placing a hand on his forearm. Kathy preferred to let Jasmine handle the people. She had a talent for zeroing in on people's insecurities, the weak points in their character. Sometimes that included Kathy's.
"No one is going to blame you for this, all right? It's not like bedbugs or rats. We need you to stay calm until we figure this out."
He smiled weakly under Jasmine's grasp. The officers stood and watched. There was no solidarity here. The wet investigators were considered disposable. Most public employees didn't even want to know what they did, just that they disappeared, that anyone around them might be questioned, maybe even tested and quarantined during the aftermath. Kathy pulled her mask over her head, checking the seal as it closed around her neck, locking together like a metal noose. The sensors stood up like goat horns over the massive tinted eye ports and breathing chamber.
"Can't we wait?" Jasmine said. "We don't even know if it's a false positive yet."
Kathy rolled her eyes, glad Jasmine couldn't see them. That was how most of their fights started. She did it again,
Savor.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?